There we go. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD's nonstop podcasting. What are we up to now? Under the radar, David?
I think so. No, this is day four. We're going all the way to Selection Sunday.
Day three, actually. Just to play the third day.
2,000 straight hours, yeah.
Championship Week Video Notebook, here we are. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by our usual cast for the Video Notebooks, John Salica and David Griggs. Before we even get into the Championship Week games this week, that happened tonight. We have a little bit of news and notes. A huge piece of news coming out of the Southwestern Athletic Conference tonight.
Huge.
Congratulations going out to the Grambling Tigers, winning on the road at Alabama A&M. Today is the actual four-year anniversary of their last D1 road win.
This is a team that's eligible for the postseason now.
They are. Yep, they're on the board still.
Yeah. So, God, what a story that would be.
But I think that has just disqualified them from the Centenary Award, and we may be down to only a couple of candidates remaining. We'll find out more about that next week, though, I think.
Do we have to give it to anyone? I don't know if anyone's deserving of it this year.
I think there's still two teams deserving, one of which is
one
Chicago.
One of them is not Boston. Whatever.
Chicago State only won D1 win. Still, I think, the front runner. But we had another busy, exciting day of college basketball conference tournament today. We want to get right into it, and what I'm going to do is pull up on my screen here the brackets once again, possibly.
Coming from our friends at CBS.
Yeah, we're going to stick with CBS again, even though they kind of had some problems last night. Everything looks good to go tonight. And do we see them?
Yes, we do.
There we are. We're going to start in the Big South. That's where we started this afternoon with there was a total of three games. We had some pretty good games here tonight, actually.
Real good. Yeah, I mean, these really were good games. And, the 20 or 25 people or so that were in that arena actually saw three really exciting games, three really hard-played games.
Right. The first one, Longwood Charleston Southern, was a good game throughout. Incredible finish in the Presbyterian Radford game. Yes. If you did not catch this, what happens is Presbyterian down by a point, gets a shot off that's not even close, missed, gets a rebound, blocked, gets another shot, missed, gets another rebound, at the buzzer, layup goes in, they win the game. Radford, great defense for 5.5 of the last 6 seconds of the game, but that last half a second was their undoing.
And that'll be the first postseason win in Division I for the Blue Hose, so congratulations.
Yeah, it really is. This was a program. I mean, they have not had many sunshiny days since finishing the transition up to Div 1, so good for them into the quarterfinals to face Winthrop. So
yeah. Winthrop tomorrow night. Why don't we go ahead and just take a quick look at those quarterfinals tomorrow night. Winthrop getting Presbyterian. Coastal gets Gardner-Webb, who Campbell hung with Gardner-Webb tonight most of the game, surprisingly. And yeah. High Point gets Longwood. And UNC Asheville and Liberty the last game. John, you expecting any upsets tomorrow in the Big South?
Longwood better not get off to another slow start like they had today, because High Point is going to run them out of the gym. But I still think the game of the day is going to be between Asheville and Liberty. Flames have actually been pretty hot over the past few weeks, and NC Asheville has been trending downwards, so it would almost be an upset if Asheville wins this game, even though they're the lower seeded.
Better seeded, yeah. I agree. I like Liberty in that game. I think Gardner-Webb, although they kind of struggled against a weak Campbell team, they let Campbell get back into it after jumping out way ahead of them. It wouldn't shock me if they beat Coastal tomorrow.
I think the exact opposite. I think Coastal's going to run Gardner-Webb out of the gym. I think Presby's going to hang with Winthrop, but I see Winthrop winning that game. I'm not entirely certain that High Point survives tomorrow. I would not be shocked if we see that upset.
Has Longwood ever been past the quarters? That would be...
I want to think that they made a run last year or 2 years ago to the semifinals also. Okay. I seem to recall that, but we'll have to get our research staff on that one.
Right.
But let's move over to the Metro Atlantic Conference, where the game of the night David, did you enjoy watching Canisius and Niagara triple overtime?
I did.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, how'd you do that?
Oh, I how did I enjoy it?
No, how did you watch it?
Oh, you just asked, like, this is how I enjoyed it.
we could play last night, we could play it every year.
The Metro Atlantic Conference, it needs to be taken to task because they have the technology, they have the ability, they just don't want to stream the opening round. I don't understand why. It makes no sense, especially when you had one of the most exciting games, if not the most exciting game of championship week so far.
Sadly, we've run out of money to send Lee Del Vecchio out to Albany because of a certain puppet's legal fees.
Yes. Well, if Chad would just win more cases, we wouldn't have this problem.
We also had a close game there between Ryder and Quinnipiac. The nightcap, Manhattan pretty much ran Marist out of the building as we thought they would. Two games here tomorrow. They've actually split the quarterfinals over 2 days. So tomorrow's games, Monmouth-Ryder and Iona-Canisius, the 1-8 and the 2-7 games. David, you expect an upset in either one of these games tomorrow?
No. Okay. not even close.
Then let's go ahead and move on to the Atlantic Sun. This was our conference. I was in the semifinals, and wow, what a night we had in the Ace Sun. So much for home court advantage. That's all I've got to say.
Well, throughout this
combined 54 points that the road teams won by.
Yeah,
54.
God. And the visiting team is, let's see, 3-1. No, I'm sorry. They're 4-2 in the tournament. The visiting team.
4-2 in the tournament. I mean, we talked about how much we thought you need home court advantage to protect your one seed. Maybe have we been wrong all season, David?
I think so. judging by how we're going here, but shocking. It is. I mean, we have talked about how North Florida appeared to be tapering off, and it seemed like they had 180'd and were dropping games. They never got ran absolutely out of the place at any point this season, quite like they did tonight. It was preposterous what happened.
And the craziest thing about it all is North Florida is still eligible for is still alive for the NCAA tournament. I did mention this about 2 weeks ago, and you guys laughed at me about bringing up the fact that Stetson could be playing for the ASUN tournament for another team this year. And here they are in the championship game against Gulf Coast. Gulf Coast wins on I believe this is Saturday. On Sunday. Gulf Coast wins on Sunday. They go to the NCAA. Stetson wins. North Florida goes to the NCAA tournament despite getting their asses kicked tonight.
So we may have to do an 11th-hour petition for Stetson to get into the tournament this year.
Yeah, so if you're North Florida, are you driving to Stetson or to Gulf Coast to root on Stetson?
I think I would.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
just a bizarre, extremely bizarre situation we've got here. Stetson can win the championship. But North Florida could go. Now, one of the most unique situations ever. Here's my question. The rules say your conference champion gets the bid, yet conferences seem to be allowed to tweak that, and it doesn't say the conference gets a bid and they can send whoever they like. It says they get to send their champion, and it's up to the league to decide how they do a champion. If Stetson wins the championship, what do you guys think about a team other than the champion getting the bid?
Well, this was a rule, actually, that was a rule change about 2 or 3 years ago when the SWAC had, I believe, 4 or 5 ineligible teams due to APR issues. The NCAA changed the rules and said that you are allowed to have teams that are either ineligible because of transition or APR play in your conference tournaments as long as you set up a rule for what happens if that team wins, be it the team they beat in the finals, be it the number one seed. And that's what the SWAC, the Horizon League, and the ASUN have all done this year.
Now, thank you for clarifying that. What do you think of that rule?
I'm kind of okay with it because I do like the idea to give these teams the chance to play for a championship, even if they not eligible for the NCAA tournament. These kids on Stetson, how huge is that for the chance to win a championship on Sunday?
Big. It is. But again, the conference isn't sending its champion.
Oh, so its regular season champion is not even more important.
It's the first place team.
Gulf Coast and Stetson, John, who do you like in the game? This is actually, probably after North Florida Jacksonville, the second best rivalry across all sports in the ASUN.
I'm still going to go with Gulf Coast right here, although it's kind of tempting to get onto the Stetson bandwagon, but I'm going to go with Gulf Coast here.
I think we need to, I mean, we could have a double court storming, neither of which is the home team at this game. You realize that?
Yes. North Florida should show up and storm the court if Stetson wins.
Along with Stetson.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on over to the Ohio Valley Conference, where after a couple of clunkers yesterday, we thought we were up for our third clunker tonight when Tennessee State was blowing Austin Peay out of the water. David, I know you turned the game off. I turned the game off.
I did. John watched it.
John, you watched it off of the game.
I actually did get it back on for the end of the game, and Austin Peay, an incredible comeback. Had a 74-71 lead with about 2 seconds left, and they fouled Tennessee State shooting a three, but he couldn't make all three free throws, and they held on to win the game. Great win by Austin Peay. And here they are playing Belmont in the semifinals now.
Yep. Just the matchup we thought we'd see. Right out of the gate.
They just blew by Tennessee State and Tennessee Tech, who were battling Belmont all season for the one seed. They just knocked two of them out. Why not? Why don't they beat Belmont tomorrow, too?
Why not? Another good, and I know the other game, the Murray-Moorhead game, the Murray-Moorhead rivalry, they only play once a year now with the divisional format, so it's always fun to see them play in the conference tournament. We're not really used to seeing them play this early in the conference tournament. Moorhead getting it done. Chad, let's, and John too, do you remember this time a year ago when Murray and Moorhead played in this quarterfinal round, and Murray was ranked in the top 25, and Moorhead State almost beat... Everybody remembers what happened against Belmont. I think what everyone forgets is that Murray almost lost to Moorhead in the game before that. It went right down to the... It was a missed last-second shot, wasn't it, in that tournament game last year?
I believe so. This game was a lot closer than that 75-66.
It really was. It was back and forth, and... I like that series. It's fun to watch those two go at it.
I think Austin Peay is going to be fine as long as they have to go through teams from the state of Tennessee to the championship. Hopefully they don't have to face Moorhead.
They seem to be doing well against those Tennessee teams. These games in Nashville, although they just beat Tennessee State, who's a Nashville team, but Belmont, another home team. I expect a lot more Belmont fans there tomorrow night, though. So.
Yeah.
Let's head on over to the Patriot League, where we had quarterfinal day, and one of our teams finally won. Unbelievable. Let's start with that game there, David. Your Army West Point Cadets taking care of Colgate.
Into the semifinals. Army is in the semifinals. They are hosting the semifinal game. What do you think of that, Chad?
John, I want to bring this up. This was the best game of the night that we all got to watch. Bucknell and Holy Cross going double overtime, and Holy Cross upsetting Bucknell. A Bucknell team that we have not been that thrilled with the way they've been playing the last month or so. So I'm not completely shocked that they lose, that they don't win the auto bid. A little shocked they went out this early in the tournament, though.
Yeah, the end of the first overtime was really the best part of the game right here because Holy Cross actually had two attempts to hit the three, and on the second one they did have to review it, but he was behind the three-point line. He beat the clock, and Bucknell just did not recover in the second overtime.
This was really hard because Campus Insider, and we love that site, but they don't have the quad box like some of the other streaming services had. So it was kind of hard to open enough windows and get all the games going at once, but all of them were great. Even when it seemed like one team would pull away in one game, the other one would come back, these were all evenly matched games, all great crowds. And this was the quarterfinals. What a night in the Patriot League, really.
Yeah, I mean, that. For example, that Lehigh-Navy game, Lehigh was up by about 12 or 13 points around halftime. Navy came all the way back, had a shot there late. Yeah. And that BU-American game was a close game all the way, and another upset there, American winning at the roof. This American team was pretty hot down the stretch. They're going to Lehigh in the other semifinal coming up on Sunday.
And that's a lead that seesawed between 10 and 3 points, although American led not quite tipped to buzzer, but it was pretty close.
Let's hit the last two games of the day here. They were in the Missouri Valley Conference, where the 8-9 game, Loyola kind of had the lead most of the way here against Bradley, but the really good game between Missouri State and Drake that came right down to the wire with Drake had a three at the buzzer that went halfway down, I think, and popped back out again.
Yeah, hit the backboard, hit the rim. It looked like it was going in, and it popped back out. So real dramatic finish there. Now, again, as exciting as of a moment as that was for Loyola, I'm sorry, as it was for Missouri State, I hope they enjoy it because they've got a tall order tomorrow. But real exciting game.
Yeah, both of these games are going to be appetizers compared to the four games coming up tomorrow.
Right. John, let's talk about these four games tomorrow. We hinted about them a little bit last night, but I think we've got a couple really good ones there, especially that 4-5 and the 3-6 games.
Yeah, I did tip my hand last night, and I thought Southern Illinois and the Trees really have the best shot of pulling off the upsets. I mean, I think Wichita State and Evansville probably aren't going to coast, but should still get double-digit wins at the end of the day.
David, do you see any other upsets happen? Do you see an upset in the 1-8 or the 2-7 games here? Or no?
Not so much, no. Evansville's hit or miss, but I think they walk all over Missouri State. I actually think Loyola is capable of playing better than what they have for most of the year, but they're not. I mean, it would take a tremendous effort for them to step up and beat Wichita. The game I'm really looking forward to is that Southern Illinois-Northern Iowa game.
I look at both of them. I think that Illinois State-Indiana State game could be a really good one. Illinois State hasn't been as good as I thought they would be this season. Indiana State has shown some flashes of being pretty good at times as well. So,
But if Illinois State does get out of this game, will this be the year that they finally cash one in? Because it seems like every other year they're having oh-so-close moments in the Valley but not getting the automatic bid to get into the tournament.
They had that huge lead on Northern Iowa in the finals last year. Remember, they fell apart. Yeah. there's three other conferences that will be tipping off their conference play tomorrow. Let's start over in the Southern Conference where we have the 8-9 game between VMI and Samford, 7-10 game between Mercer and the Citadel. David, let me start with you. First of all, anything about these two games tomorrow? And second, who do you think wins this entire conference tournament?
The two games tomorrow, Samford really got off to a great start this season, one of their better starts. I think they were 7-2, 8-2. It's the best start they'd had in a few decades. They just really, really fell apart down the stretch, and you wonder what happened to them. Mercer Citadel, Mercer was at or near the top of this league. I mean, they were right in there with Chattanooga, and they have not been the same since the tragedy a few weeks ago. It's you kind of hate to see that happen to anyone. And the fact that their season hasn't been successful is small in comparison to that. But as far as that goes, I still like Chattanooga the most, although they've proven that they can lose to the absolute worst, just like another under-the-radar bubble team did tonight, not in a conference tournament. But that's my pick to win it. I think they pull it together and get it done.
Yeah, David referring to may have been the curse of the under-the-radar game of the day. We've got to start looking out for that. But after featuring Arkansas Little Rock, they lost today. But, John, I agree with David. I think Chattanooga wins this conference tournament despite the struggles they've had recently. Do you agree also?
Let's not forget that a team like Furman last year was able to come out of the 10 seed and still make a nice run to the championship game. But for this one, the surprise I'm going to take is not going to be Citadel, but I'm going to go with Wofford to upset Chattanooga and also win the championship against East Tennessee State, even though this has not been one of the Terriers' better years.
Okay.
It hasn't been, but that's not too crazy. Mike Young, very good coach, and this is a really, really young Wofford team that has been playing better. So.
Also tip it off, a conference that we've been talking about that we're looking forward to a ton this season. Colonial Athletics tipping off now. Tomorrow, just the appetizer, Elon Drexel and Charleston, Delaware. But once we get past these first round games, this could be any of these, not only the six teams that get the bye, but I think Elon and Charleston also could be in the mix here to potentially win this thing. This is going to be a real fun conference tournament. John, let me start. Oh, David, let's start with you. What your thoughts on it?
Okay, it's going to be fun. So much going on here. Townsend playing really well down the stretch. Another great job by Pat Scarry with that team. You had so much parity. Hofstra, probably the best paper, and they ended up with the one seed after UNC Wilmington kind of dropped some games late. Charleston, even at seventh place, had some big moments this year. Bill and Mary, we were talking about them being inside the bubble. They finished fifth. That James Madison Bill and Mary game is going to be fun because the winner of that has a legitimate shot at winning in the semis too. I am so looking. Why do we have to have the opening round? Chad, can we just skip the opening round? Get right to the.
The only thing I mentioned in the opening round, Drexel has pulled a few upsets late in the season, including a win over William & Mary late in the season. So Elon should not overlook them and look to tomorrow night's game. That's the only thing I would mention. I think Delaware is going to get pounded by Charleston. But, John, I'm actually going to go with chalk, believe it or not. I'm going to go with Hofstra to win this tournament. Where are you at?
Well, let's not forget a team like Northeastern, who looked like they were going to get off to a good start earlier in the year after winning at Miami and Florida, but they've been kind of disappointing in the Colonial this year. That being said, I think I'm going to go with Hofstra in this one as well.
And David, did you give me your pick?
I did not. It's not Hofstra. I am going with James Madison.
Okay. One more conference tipping off is just a single game tomorrow. West Coast Conference getting underway. The 8-9 game between Loyola Marymount and San Diego. 10 teams in this league, but Pacific not playing because they're ineligible. Winner of this game gets St. Mary's, one of David's favorite teams in the quarters. This is an interesting conference because we do have St. Mary's Gonzaga being discussed as potential bubble teams as we move forward here. I guess the two questions are, one, do those two teams make it to the finals? And two, who wins it? David, I'll start with you.
Oh, with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you should be starting with me. I think that the chalk holds up. I really don't have a lot of faith. If it doesn't, I think it's because BYU takes down Gonzaga. Gonzaga has looked good on occasion, but they have not looked good enough for me to think that they're a good team. They've been one of the biggest disappointments of the year. St. Mary's has beaten them twice. St. Mary's, although they've had to sweat out a lot of games against weak teams, they have ultimately gotten it done, and I think they end up winning the tournament.
John, you going with St. Mary's, Gonzaga, or San Francisco, Pepperdine? What are you doing?
I think I had said before that the good news for St. Mary's that they are not going to have to beat both Gonzaga and BYU to make it to the championship. The only problem here is they're going to have to figure out a way to beat Pepperdine if the Waves wind up beating San Francisco. But Gonzaga finally showed that they can win a tough game by winning at BYU. So until someone is able to knock them off otherwise, I'm still going with Gonzaga to win this league, even with their backs to the wall.
Well, I'll tell you, St. Mary's also proved they could win a big game with their non-conference win on Tuesday night when they knocked off the Lopes. Huge upset there, in my opinion.
Huge upset, yes.
But I am going to... I hate that I'm going to do this. I really don't want to, but because it is every bracketologist's nightmare.
Oh, no.
I'm going to make the call here. I'm going to go with BYU to win this tournament. Underperformed this season. I think they are a solid team. They were actually a team heading into the season I thought was an NCAA tournament caliber team. I think they knock off Gonzaga, and I think they knock off Pepperdine, who takes out St. Mary's, and going to make it a nightmare for us when we do our bracketing, but that's what I'm...
Well, at the very least, you won't have to worry about them in the first four and making it out.
Yeah, well, they will not be in the first four, at least. But on that note, that concludes our review of these games here that were played and are coming up tomorrow night. Just a few other notes. The Mid-American Conference concludes its regular season tomorrow night, and Ivy League, keep an eye on that. The automatic bid cannot be clinched on Friday night, but both teams, both Columbia and Princeton, I'm sorry, both Yale and Princeton on the road, Yale at Cornell, Princeton at Harvard. So
yeah.
Keep an eye on that as they move closer towards, mm-hmm. It could be wrapped up Saturday night.
Okay.
But any other thoughts for the evening? Let me start with you, John.
Board.
Yeah, we had mentioned Manhattan earlier with their win over Marist, and some other good news that came out of there was Steve Masiello getting a 4-year contract extension. So after his off-season troubles a couple years ago, it's good to see the school and Masiello come to a long-term relationship again.
Yeah. And David's reminding me that we forgot to do something, almost. This would have been a cry, but David, can you pull it up?
Yes, here we go. And let's see, we've got it. There it is. Oh, there it is. Do you see it? It's the board.
There it is. There's our NCAA Tournament Survival Board, 307 with an asterisk, teams remaining after, I guess this was as of close of play.
Yesterday.
On yesterday, well, I guess that was close to play Wednesday night. We are now looking at, it's actually technically March 4th already, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 12:30 a.m. But we are going to do here in a couple of seconds, as soon as we get things set up, we're going to be updating the survival board to show how today's games affected it. Right. And David, why don't you go ahead and hit that magic button. Let's see what happens.
Okay, and you can see here, and this takes into account everything. And, oh, wow, we're down to 292. So 292 teams are still alive to win the national championship.
I'm still thinking 307 on your screen there. Oh, there it goes.
Oh, okay.
There it goes. It was a little delayed reaction. There it is. 292 teams. We have dropped under 300.
Right.
With an asterisk, because it does still include Grand Canyon. So we continue to knock these teams off. David, any other comments or any other thoughts here?
Just one thing. You know, we're kind of into day three of championship week. I don't remember it. It has been amazing pretty much every single night, and I realize a lot of the teams that are playing now, the opening rounds of the smaller conferences, it isn't the best basketball, it isn't teams that are likely to get in, and if they do, they're not going to go very far. But just the amount of effort, the amount of emotion into these games, because what they're playing for is basically to have their season last one more day. And I for one have just been, even though it's in these smaller arenas and these aren't the best teams, even from the smaller conferences, it's just the amount of effort and just how much fun it's been to watch these games these past 3 days. It's just been, I mean, how can you not watch the Patriot League tonight? And then the Northeast Conference last night, even that Fairleigh Dickinson game where we were on the crowd, and not be taken by the amount of effort that we've seen.
We need to go back to the survival board for one more moment because we need to show the Atlantic Sun again, because there was one team that we could not take off the board because of that upcoming game between Florida Gulf Coast and Stetson.
Yeah, we got it here. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, John. There it is. And the Atlantic Sun, you notice that North Florida, this is the first time in survival board history we have had a team that's been a normal losing your screwed text, yet is no longer eligible to play a game. So they're not really losing, you're screwed. They're somebody else loses and you're screwed.
Right, yeah.
We might need something else for them besides normal text. We're going to have to look into that if we go off the air tonight. But they're not exactly losing, you're screwed there. If Stetson loses, you're screwed.
Right, yes.
But on that note, I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we'll be back again tomorrow night.